Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we're looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, dinner at a deserted place. These verses contain one of Jesus' greatest miracles, the feeding of 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. This event is intended to receive special attention as it's recorded in all four Gospels. And verse 13 provides the context. Matthew 14, verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus heard it, when he heard what? That John the Baptist was dead. The previous verses record his murder by Herod to reward a stripper for dancing. So, Jesus went to a deserted place to spend some time by himself. Actually, the parallel passage in Mark 6 reveals that Jesus wanted his disciples to rest. They'd worked hard. They went by boat, but the multitude followed on foot and met them at the place. Such a willingness to go as far as necessary by whatever means they had to receive whatever Jesus had for them. What a lesson for us. First of all, this miracle is a remarkable example of Jesus' compassion. Look at verse 14 down to verse 17. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They did not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only five loaves and two fish." In Mark's parallel record, it reads, in Mark 6, verse 34, it reads, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Jesus did two things out of his compassion. Before he fed them, Many of the rescue missions today get it backwards. The people fall asleep from a full belly. A, he began to teach them many things, and he healed their sick. What did the disciples become focused on? It's getting late. It's past 12 o'clock. It's a long ride home. In fact, it's a school night. Everybody's hungry. Let's call it a day. And notice what Jesus did at that point. They don't need to go away. You feed them. And Mark gives a look into the disciples' mindset in Mark 6, verse 37, second part of it. And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Pay attention to what is really going on here. Jesus knew there was not enough food to feed the people here. He wanted the disciples to acknowledge that fact. And why? So that it would be clear a miracle had occurred. Verses 17 and 18, again. Get a deeper insight into Jesus' intent in Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12. "Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'Oh, it's because we have taken no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said, 'Oh, you have little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves? Because you brought no bread. Do you not yet understand? Or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And notice Jesus' heart towards sinners. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's patient. And he's abundant in goodness and truth. He doesn't deal with men according to sins. He even provides his enemies with blessings. And why? Because his goodness leads sinners to repentance. That's a priority. And second, this miracle is an undeniable proof of Jesus' divinity. Look at verse 19 through 21. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded, that's actually verse 18, then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. To satisfy the hunger of more than 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish, it would be impossible unless it was multiplied supernaturally. No magician would have attempted it. No imposter would have attempted it. No false prophet would have attempted it. They might pretend to cure a single sick person or raise a single dead body to convince some, but not this. Convince 10,000 men, women, and children that they were full when they were hungry? Now, Jesus gave undeniable proof that he is God. He called that into being, which did not exist. He provided visible, tangible, material food for 10,000 people out of a supply which by itself would not have fed 50. Creation, ex nihilo, from nothing, is the sole power of God, not man. All the Lord's miracles have a figurative meaning and teach great spiritual truths. But we must be careful not to see allegories where the Holy Spirit meant none to be seen. So, what does this hungry multitude in a deserted place represent? It's the symbol of all mankind. They're a group of perishing sinners starving in the world, helpless, hopeless, and on their way to hell. We have all gone astray, like lost sheep. We are by nature far away from God. We're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. There is barely a step between us and eternal death. But our eyes are blinded to the danger. What do the loaves and fish represent? Well, they were inadequate to meet the necessities of a small number of people. But by Jesus' miracle, were made sufficient to feed 10,000. They are a symbol of Jesus Christ crucified for sinners, making atonement by his death for the sin of the world. That act seems to the unbeliever insufficient in itself. Christ crucified was to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 speaks to this. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect, For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. They have eaten of it and been filled. What about you? Have you eaten of the bread of life? Jesus Christ. Because you see, all of us have come the same way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That's an eternal death, separate from God in hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Because God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God demonstrated that love in sending Jesus to the cross. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. And if we confess that, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our mouth confession is made, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Have you surrendered to Him as your Lord? Are you a living sacrifice, obedient to Him? You have a great day.